claim the rights as a person, but then they under the Commerce Clause they claim the right to be treated as a business and to be able to deduct all of their expenses. And what I was thinking was that if you could sue for equal treatment, such that corporations are treated, they either treat people like corporations, where they can deduct their house, their gas, all their expenses with having to earn this money, or they treat corporations like people and just tax them on their gross.
That issue's been raised, and that is expenses of living so that I can produce a wage has been raised in one case and was thrown out because they said, well, it's not allowable.
Again,
you're right. You can't start telling lies without getting frustrated with good reason. And you're bringing up one of those instances where, in order to lie, they end up cheating somebody. Now, but the same thing applies on your labor, because you also given up not just your expenses that you can't claim, but you've also given up a day or a month or a year out of your life.
Yeah.
And you can't get that back, no matter how much money you spend.
Sure enough.
But you can't deduct anything for that. It's all profit, according to them. So your year is worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Your life is worthless. You are worthless. You know, I refuse to accept that. Do you?
I refuse to accept it, too.
Well, good for you, Vicki. Yeah, we've just run out of time here on the Life Free Zone. It's been another great, great, great week. We'll talk to you later.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi. Well, bear with us. Today it seems like my computer is extremely, extremely slow. That's why we're a couple of minutes late. And we will be we'll switch computers, thank God, for laptops. I'm not really sure what happened all of a sudden. Must have had a virus in my main computer. But we will definitely get it going, and I think we are working on it now. Are we on the system now? Okay, good.
Just had a little problem, and that problem was because we, like I said, my computer was acting up, and we had to switch to another computer, and then we had to get it started on the cell phone. But now we are back on track, and everything is fine. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, today in the first hour, we will be speaking with Susan Abulhawa. She is a Palestinian-American writer. She wrote a book. Her book, the title of that book, is The Scar of David. And it's an excellent reading, excellent book. It talks about, it is the story of a Palestinian family. And it tells their story of what happened to them back in 1948 when they were forced off of their land, and them as refugees in one of the refugee camps in the West Bank. It's very much, even though it's a story of one Palestinian family told by one member of that family, a daughter named Amal, she very much tells the narrative of what happened to a lot of Palestinian families back in 1948 and actually what's still happening to them even these days. But we will be discussing the problems of what's going on in the second hour, what happened last week in Gaza. We will be tackling that issue. And we will very much go over how did and what got the Palestinians all the way to what took place last week in Gaza. But my guest in the first hour is Susan Abulhawa, who I said she wrote a book, The Scar of David, and you can see the get the book and see the website. You can get more information about it. You can go to thescarofdavid.com, and you will be able to get this particular book. It's excellent. It really, if you want to know the history of the Palestinian people, and if you want to know what happened to the Palestinian people, this particular book is an excellent book. It's not a history book, even though it is told in a historical narrative, but it's a fun to read. It's very enjoyable reading, but sadly enough, it tells the story of, to me, it tells the story of the Palestinian people, but it is a story of a family. Without any further ado, we need to go directly to Susan. Welcome to the program, Susan.
Hi, Hisham. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear the guest.
Hello? Hello?
We figure out exactly what's going on, because I can't hear the guest. Is she on? I'm assuming that she is on. Can you hear me? Yes, okay. All right, we're on. Susan, can you hear me? All right. Okay, let's go to the producers. Is she on? Okay, she dropped off for some reason. Okay. All right. Well, we're back. We're going to try. We had her on, but I guess for some reason we lost her. It looks like technology today is really failing us big time, but we'll try to get her back. For those of you who don't know much about the Palestinian people, as you know, the Palestinians have lost their land back in 1948 due to the influx of Jewish immigrants to Palestine. And after World War II, and of course the reality is Israel was established in on a land that already belonged to other people, and people have been living on that land for thousands and thousands of years. And here comes the Europeans, who very much due to the help of the British and later on the Americans, established a country called Israel. But a lot of things had happened since then, and you know, if you go to a house that's already occupied by people, the only way you're going to occupy that house is by kicking out the people who already live there. And that are the that's the Palestinian people. So it did not happen overnight, the establishment of Israel. It came as a okay, I understand that she's on now. Susan, can you hear
me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hi, great. Welcome.
Hi, Hisham.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks for having me.
Sure, you're welcome. I think we got all the problems taken care of. At first, my computer would not cooperate. It was going very, very slow, so I had to switch to another computer. And then once we got you on, we lost you somehow. So welcome back to the show. I know we had an excellent show last Tuesday on the TV program. And we welcome you to RBN.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Susan, the Scar of David, it's an excellent book, and let me just very much take a couple of minutes to tell our listeners what the Scar of David is all about, and what made you write the book. What are you trying to get out of this book?
Well, I mean, it's a novel, and it's a work of literature. I wanted to tell the Palestinian story through this venue. We don't really, our story really hasn't been told in fiction. It's mostly been cold prose of nonfiction and history texts and so forth. But I wanted to create characters that people in the West in particular could connect with and see the conflict through their eyes, how in the way that we Palestinians have lived this conflict.
Okay, so let's get started with, your narrative takes place about, right before 1940?
Excuse me?
Or around that area there. Now, what was Palestine at that time? Can you set the stage as to where this novel takes place? Where does it start, the beginning of the novel?
Yes, it starts with a family that lives in Ein Holt, which is it's a small village near Haifa. And during the 1948 war, the family, when the village is emptied of its inhabitants, the family ends up in the Jenin refugee camp. And the story goes from there and talks, and it goes into the 1967 war, and it talks about it just gives the dismantlement of that family and how they lived through the war and subsequent events in Palestinian history.
But now this particular family's story is typical for most families who were forced off of their land back in 1948. I mean, this particular narrative,
yeah,
is not just for that particular family, because that's probably what happened to most families.
You're absolutely right.
Who were forced off.
The majority of the Palestinian population was pushed into refugee camps, and that number totals nearly 5 million people who live in refugee camps in Lebanon and the West Bank and in Gaza and other countries as well. That's not including the people who were exiled and now live in the diaspora.
Okay. Now, this particular family, like other Palestinians, when they were forced off of their land, some of them went to refugee camps that were established on what's known now as the West Bank, which is part of historic Palestine, but others went to Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and other countries. Now, this wasn't, I mean, the Palestinian people, when they were forced off their land back in 1948, and even though they went to refugee camps inside the West Bank, that wasn't the end for that family. They had to endure another tragedy even in their refugee camps. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I don't really want to give the story away. But, you know, the Palestinian narrative is one great, long, boundless tragedy after another. You know, the 48 war was followed by the 67 war, and then, you know, this occupation, this horrendous, oppressive, dehumanizing occupation that's been going on for four decades now. And, of course, you know, with all the massacres that entails, not just in Palestine, but in Lebanon as well, and other Arab nations where Palestinians were. So, you know, not all of these are touched upon, but some of them are. You know, various members of the family do come into and encounter these things. One of the siblings in the family ends up in the United States, and she's a principal character who narrates much of the book.
Okay, but even though it's a story and it's a novel, but it's also a narrative of the basically what happened to a lot of the Palestinian people. So you based your novel not just mainly on imaginations and fiction, but actually you have a lot of historical facts and historical research in that. So without, you know, giving the story away, it's basically a typical story for the Palestinians, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it absolutely is, yes.
Okay. Now, why is reading your book would be different from, let's say, reading a history book about the problem or an essay or a paper written about the conflict? What makes your book different?
Well, novels are very different than history books. Novels have characters. They shows a human dimension. The readers have someone to root for, someone to identify with. It's not just a matter of recounting events. It's introducing human beings to the reader, people who grapple with, you know, normal human things and events in the context of this of the historic events. You know, people fall in love in the story. They have children, you know, they're a mother-daughter relationships that run through this. So, I mean, this stuff is not, you don't find this in history texts.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. It's excellent reading, and it's beautiful story. Even though the content of the story is extremely sad, because it describes the saga of the Palestinian people and how they have been living for over 60 years now. Now, you did go, before you wrote the book, and actually what probably prompted you to write the book is your trip to the refugee camps in the town of Jenin in the West Bank?
Yes.
But tell me about that experience. I know it had left a profound effect on you personally. What did you see there?
When in 2002, when there were reports of a massacre in Jenin, you know, Israel had sealed off the area as a closed military zone, so not even the media were allowed in, but you know, there were rumors, and I, at the time, worked for a pharmaceutical company.
Susan, stay with me. Looks like we are taking a break right now, so we will be
okay.
Right back.
Okay.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're speaking with Susan Abulhawa, who is the writer, the author of The Scar of David. It's a novel. It's an extremely interesting novel. I suggest that everyone try to get a copy if you really like to know the story of the Palestinian people, and you can get this book
by going to www.scarofdavid.com. Scarofdavid.com. Susan, Golda Meir one time, I mean, your novel kind of tells the world that what Golda Meir said back in 1967, that it was a land without people for people without a land, speaking of the Jewish establishment of Israel in on a land that was actually occupied by people for thousands of years. And as you have narrated in the novel, that this particular family had lived on the land for like generations, like 40 or 50 or even I don't remember exactly how many generations this one particular family have lived on the land. What do you think about that statement that it was a land for people without a land?
Well, clearly that wasn't true. I mean, it was a land that already had its people, and in fact, Ben Gurion is quoted in different contexts, and, but essentially saying that you know, we have taken their country. It is only normal that they would hate us. So you know, they knew that, and this was all propaganda, of course. And they were, you know, the Zionist movement was heavily weighing on the, you know, sentiments from the Holocaust and so forth. So you know, Palestine always had its people. you know, it's been Palestine since you know, since before Jesus. So of course. You know, it was propaganda, of course.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome to weigh in on this. You can call the number to call is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And we are speaking with Susan Abulhawa. And the book is The Scar of David. Now, how much history is in your novel, and how much fiction would you say? Besides the characters, the fictitious characters, the narrative itself, how much history do you think you have in there?
Hello?
Are you there?
Hi, Hisham. I'm sorry, you were breaking up. It's a very strange connection. I didn't hear the question.
Okay. The question was, can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay. The question was, how much history and how much fiction do you have in this novel, even though it's based on a fictitious characters, but the content, as I understand it, that you have done a lot of research, and you being a Palestinian American, you probably lived part of this history. So how much history and how much fiction is in the book?
Well, like you said, the characters are fictitious. The historic context is absolutely accurate. I mean, it's based on facts and well-documented history. I mean, undisputed history, in fact. You know, a lot of Israeli historians even have documented what has happened. And so that's, yeah, that's just only the characters are fictitious, and the story of this family, obviously, is fictitious.
Okay. So let me, I just want to go back into, without giving the story away, but one twist in the story, and I think I find the most intriguing, is this particular family lost one of their youngest sons, Ismail, who was, I believe, 6 months old, when 1948 came about, or when the Nakba came about?
Yes.
And what's so interesting, I mean, if you allow me just to give that part out to our audience, because I find it very, very interesting that this particular son was actually kidnapped by an Israeli soldier who basically raised him as a Jew. And later on in the story, he kind of joins his sister, but he comes face-to-face with his brother at one time in 1967 during the war. That's an interesting twist in that story. Is there I mean, was that just to add more imagination and make the story more enjoyable, or did you really have something else in mind when you brought up that character and had made the story to fit that particular character the way you did? Okay. All right. Looks like we have another break. I mean, guys, I don't hear the music. Okay. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095. Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, and our number is 800-313-9443. We welcome your phone calls. Susan, are you back? Okay. Apparently, we lost her again. Those cell phones, sometimes they probably don't work. Can you hear me now? Anyhow, when we get her back, we will be asking her more questions about the book. But ladies and gentlemen, I read the book, and I can tell you, I spent years and years and years talking about the Palestinian problem and the Palestinian issue and the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And this particular book, it really tells all, even though it's a story of one family, but it's a story of one family of a whole people. And to me, this is probably the story of millions of Palestinians who are still living in refugee camps. And it's extremely well written as far as the literary context of it. It's I just can't say. When I started reading it, I just could not put it down. This is how good and enjoyable reading this particular story is, even though I keep saying whenever I use that word enjoyable, it's not really an enjoyable experience for the Palestinian people who have been under the Israeli. And even though some of them are not living under Israeli control, but they are still living in refugee camps, and you have seen in the last month what happened to some of these Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon. One of them that comes to mind is almost being destroyed totally because of this new group, Fatah al-Islam, that we practically, the United States with its cronies over there in that area, started as the new strategy of basically inflaming another country. You know, it's not bad enough that we inflamed the sectarian violence between the Sunnis and the Shiites in Iraq, but we are trying to move to other areas like Lebanon, and that's when we introduced this particular group and financed it, as a matter of fact. And is Susan back with us? Apparently not. Okay. And now we actually managed to move or transfer the violence to areas where no Sunnis and no Shiites live. Actually, no Shiites live, which is the Gaza. And the West Bank, we were able to find a something that these people can fight about. People who never fought before, we managed to bring violence to them. We are waiting on Susan to join us back. Apparently, we have a problem with her communication with her. I knew she was not where she can have a landline, and that's probably part of the problem. So we will continue until we get her. Just update me whenever, as soon as we get her back on, so we can get started back again. Also, Susan is involved in a project that I find extremely interesting and meaningful. It's called Playgrounds for Palestine, and you can see more information about this particular project that Susan is involved in at www.playgroundsforpalestine.org. basically, it's a very simple program. They go to Palestinian towns, and whatever town gives them a site for a playground, they basically collect donations and build playground for Palestinian children, very much trying to get them out of their normal activities, which is resisting the Israeli control. So it's an excellent program that Susan is involved with, the Playgrounds for Palestine. And like I said, you can get more information about this particular program at playgroundsforpalestine.org. I understand we have Susan back. Welcome back, Susan.
Hi, Hisham.
Hi. Apologize. I don't know if it's our fault or if we just dropping your call there. It seems like we're having a problem today. But Susan, tell me about this particular program. I started talking about it while I was we were trying to get hold of you. Playgrounds for Palestine, and then we will go back and talk about the book again. And again, we welcome your phone calls. The number is 800-313-9443. What's the program, Playgrounds for Palestine? Tell me about it.
It's a simple program. Basically, we just we raise money in the U.S. and we use that money to install playgrounds for Palestinian children to uphold the rights of the child to play. As you know, play is a very important part of childhood development, and Palestinian children are violated in nearly every way. They really have no outlets for creative expression, and as more and more land is being seized from Palestinians, there are no open spaces where they can just play and be children. So this is an effort to bring them some semblance of childhood, to give them a place where that's a place of their own that they can where they can go and have fun. It's a place of color, and it also for many of these children it's also somewhat of a refuge, and in the larger picture as well. They really contrast significantly with the infrastructure of militarism, of the checkpoints and the rubble and so forth. And to have these colorful playgrounds with children playing on them is a nice contrast to that.
Okay. When did you start on this program? How long has it been in place?
We started this. It's 6 years old. Five or six. We started it in 2001, late 2001.
Okay. And how many playgrounds have you established there or set up?
We've built five so far, and we sponsored a design competition among Gaza students last year in order to come up with designs that were aesthetically Palestinian, for innovative, fun, safe playgrounds that we could build using raw material and local labor rather than purchasing playground equipment.
Okay. And so you very much, how do you choose the sites? Do you have like criteria of how you choose the sites, or very much open to anyone who would offer you a site?
We look for institutions, schools, municipalities that can supervise, not supervise, but just maintain the playgrounds. So we don't just put them wherever and leave them. We need someone to be there who will look after the playground and make sure that it's up to standards and safe and so forth. So that's one criteria. Another thing is that it's not in an area where soldiers can target Palestinian children. So we prefer to have an enclosed enclosed area, and that's not really hard to find because more and more Palestinian societies are is becoming more highly urbanized because the space is so small and the population is still growing.
You know, I'm wondering if there's really any place where the Israeli soldiers don't target Palestinian
children. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because, we've seen last month where a student who was a senior in high school, and she was preparing for her tests or exams, and she was shot sitting in her bedroom studying. And as a matter of fact, her parents did not know that she was shot until her mom called her to come down for dinner, and she did not respond. So she went to her room and found her dead sitting on the bed or laying down on the bed with her book in her hands. So there's really
I read that story and I saw the photo of the book that she was studying. It splattered with her blood.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, that's not an unusual. It's quite common. There are lots of stories like that. That you know, people just sitting in their homes and then just bullets coming through the window.
Now let me ask you this: when you wrote the book, did you talk to people about like actual stories? Is there like any actual stories in your book that happened, that took place, where people told you this is what happened to us, and you somehow put it in the book? Is there any stories there that you have used?
Well, what happened in Jenin, when I went there. I lived with some of the families while we were, trying to help them clean up and pull bodies out of the rubble and things like that. So I heard a lot of stories, and some of that is incorporated into that part of the book. So it's just to be authentic and to be accurate and to tell their story truthfully. But I didn't take individual people and create characters from them and apply the stories to them. That didn't happen.
Okay. Tell me about there's one particular scene in Jenin back in 1967 where Emel and her friend is basically inside a hole in their kitchen. Was that like a fictitious story or any part of that actually took place?
No, that was fictitious. Yeah.
That was fictitious.
I mean,
okay.
Obviously, the 67 war was not, it's not fictitious, but.
Right.
Yeah.
But that particular scene, I was wondering about if that particular scene, because it's extremely well written. Susan, if you stay with me, we're going to go to some callers. We have Mike in Maryland. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I really have to confess a lot of ignorance about the history of the Palestinian people and about the situation in Israel, although I do try to keep up with it on the news. But so hoping you can enlighten me. It just seems like the press, the media, they always want to demonize the Palestinians and call them wild-eyed terrorists and all this. And, of course, I'm sure you probably know our government was behind 9/11. As a matter of fact, I took a cab home today, and the driver was from Pakistan, and I'm a member of www.dc911truth.org. We try to spread the truth about 9/11, and I gave him a couple of copies of Terror Storm and Loose Change. I said, listen, show these to your people and let them know that our government is truly evil, and I don't want to see Muslims demonized. So I try to help spread the truth, but I didn't, so I just want to, I just hate to see that happen. But let me just ask a question here. People say, well, Palestinians, everywhere they go, they create terror and mischief, and they went into Jordan, so the story goes, and they tried to overthrow the Jordanian government. And that's why 40,000 or something or so Palestinians were killed, and that's why they kicked out of Jordan. Is there any truth to that, or is this just misinformation?
Okay. You're
referring
go ahead,
to Black
Susan.
September, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Well, it doesn't.
I don't know how that. I'm trying to understand how that ties into your question about you know, the occupation and the Palestinians and what's happening to them in Israel.
Well, Israel. I was just wondering, though, if the Palestinians, you know, did try to overthrow Jordan.
The Palestinians, wherever they... the Hashemite kingdom, the Hashemite family, did fear for you know, for its survival, because the Palestinians had gained a lot of political power, and you know, this is our story.
Well, I think Susan, also, you know, wherever the Palestinians go, especially if they are armed, and when they were in Jordan, they were armed, and if we remember back in 1968, actually, the Al-Karama battle. So what happened in Jordan is part of the conspiracy against the Palestinians, because wherever they go, Israel tries to weaken them. And part of the problem, even though there were some mistakes made by the Palestinians in Jordan, but the overall picture was to take the guns away from the Palestinians, and I think that's what happened. Mike, thank you for the call.
Yeah, can I just ask one question?
Yeah, very quick.
Well, here's the irony of the whole situation. If I understand it correctly, from what I understand, the Orthodox Jews don't believe that the Jews should return to Israel until their Messiah arrives. And, of course, they believe that their Messiah hasn't arrived. So in a sense, they're going against their own religion.
Yes, Mike, unfortunately, we are out of time right now. We have a break coming up, and we'll try to answer that question when we come back. Stay tuned. We have other callers, and we will be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products.
That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are discussing the book, The Scar of David, written by Susan Abulhawa, and we happen to have Susan with us. And the question that Mike asked, we will tackle that in the second hour. I will speak at length. Mike, you're welcome to call back in the second hour, and we'll spend as much time as you want on that particular question. It's extremely important questions, but since we only have a few minutes left, let's go back to the phones with Mark in Idaho. Oh, she fell off. Again, okay, let's see if we can get her back as quick as we can. But,
get her back because I am not interested in talking to you. I'm interested in talking to her. I talk to you every day, several times a day.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I believe the producers are trying to get her back. You know, these darn cell phones are extremely, they're annoying, and I know that because I use them.
Well, let me ask you this, Hashem,
uh-huh.
And this is kind of the question I was going to ask Susan anyway. You know, one of the things that the Zionists use in this country in order to keep Americans behind the support of the war and in support of Israel is this idea that the Muslims are they're out to take over the world, and that they hate the Christians, and that they hate Christianity, and the Christians are fleeing Palestine because the Muslims are out to destroy them.
Well,
now, you are a Muslim, and you grew up around Christians. So what I would like to know is, I'd like to hear an explanation as to what the relationship between Christians and Muslims really is in Palestine.
Okay. And by the way, I keep saying she's on a cell phone. I'm told that she's on a landline. But even though the landline, we're still having a problem. You know, Mark, that's a good question. Number one, if Muslims want to take over the world, how in the world are they going to do it? You know, they need the means, which they don't have. And number two, there's really no such a thing as a Muslim nation, because Muslims they're scattered all over the world. There are so-called Muslim countries, but Muslim countries are basically in the governments of those countries are very much like, for instance, Saudi Arabia and Egypt and all these countries. They are very much in the American camp. Yes, I grew up around Christians. A lot of my friends were Christians and still are. And you see, you have to understand, Muslims are, they're not told, they are ordered to respect other religions, and other religions, to name just the